Hey guys, welcome to our welcome to our coffee break.
Yay!
Got my coffee.
Today is Friday, the 24th of April. Since you forgot to say.
Oh, yes, you're right. And I forgot to do that yesterday too. So people are going to be like, "When is now?"
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you absolutely. We're going to lose track completely.
And one of the things I realized when I had to do the intro, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, I think it was we were doing it's hard. You guys,
because y'all keep talking over me.
I know. But you'll rehearse, you know, I know whenever you're preparing for the show or preparing for coffee break.
Mm. Usually by the time we're live, we've already done it four times because technical difficulties made it so nothing worked. So we call those our practice runs.
Got it. I see. Okay. Not a problem. But I didn't realize, you know, I should realize, of course, but I didn't realize I've done presentations before, but only usually rehearse them once or twice in my head. I don't usually stand up and do a full-blown reversal.
Oh, yes.
Rehearsal. Yeah. But when it comes to go time, when it comes to, okay, now's the time, we've got to get it right, it's hard. you're always thinking, you know, it's going on in your mind. Is everything, you know, framed correctly and all
that? I think you're going to see that if you look back at old episodes of Category 5, too, where, like, we had to come into our own.
Yes.
And then it suddenly clicks, and because you've been doing it every single week for 13 years, you're able to think much more on the fly and able to pick up. I think also when you stumble over your words, not that you did, obviously not.
But I understand.
What I mean is thinking along the terms of it's hard. You learn as you stumble over your words how to recover from that in a way that makes sense to the conversation.
And
there's, you know, crutch terms like, pardon me, I meant to say, and, you know, kinds of things you'll hear. Yeah.
And I've seen it happen where you or Sasha or Jeff will do a news item or so. And I want to come back to that too, because I never did find Jeff on the broadcast. When I looked at the post-produced version, I saw him do the news. I saw him do the news. But I didn't know if he was supposed to make an appearance earlier on, you know, during the interviews and stuff. And I didn't know if that's what you all were talking about. So,
I
need to go back and look again.
When we aired the show live, I wasn't able to get them on with Zoom.
Okay.
So the intention was to have an interactive newsroom as we normally do, but socially distant using Zoom. Didn't work out that way, so I had to have them afterward. They recorded, I guess they pre-recorded their segments and then sent them to me. So then I post-edited them in, and that's because I couldn't get everything connected in time to make it work. So what I've done, I've created two Linux Mint virtual machines on my hypervisor, and well, I created one and then I cloned it, so save some time. But so what it is it's Linux Mint with Mate desktop, and the only app that's installed is Zoom.
Okay.
So then I've got it set so that each one is, you know, so we've got Zoom 1, Zoom 2. And so I can open Zoom 1 and connect to the discussion, the Zoom meeting, and pin Jeff's video. And press record. Then over on Zoom 2, I do the same, bring up Zoom, connect to the meeting, pin Henry's video, and press record.
Got it.
So now I have two recordings happening on two virtual machines, basically hacking Zoom in such a way that it allows me to record two isolated video shots. And then our cameras will be recording me in an isolated video shot.
Yep.
So then post-process, so live, you'd see a normal Zoom meeting where it transitions every time someone talks, but on demand, it will be edited together in a much nicer way. So I think that'll work.
I remember when I first found Cat 5, I went and viewed a few of the older episodes, including season 1. And I noticed quite quickly that you were in the first season, at least in the early You were quite occupied by interacting with the chat room. Mm-hmm. You were constantly asking for how you did things and feedback of. You have streamlined that process in the.
But that's true even now. The only difference is, Robbie, that you've got people to help you with that now.
I absolutely understand what Solvu's saying. Because those early seasons, because when Category 5 started, remember, it was not meant to be a TV show. It was meant to be a support forum. Mm-hmm. So like a free place for people to come and ask questions about their computers and stuff. So if people didn't ask questions, I just kind of rocked back and forth in my chair.
Right.
But then that started to evolve into, okay, well, we didn't get enough questions this week, so maybe I should have something prepared as, you know, time filler.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, and then when Carrie joined, of course, every man in the world started watching, and suddenly the show took off.
Yeah, funny about that. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how that worked, but
yeah, for some reason it helps to have a woman on the show.
Ever since.
Well, as long as you don't have a female host that looks like an animaker, you should be safe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like my coffee cup is like maybe if I do this often enough, maybe they'll start sending me money or free coffee or something.
It might be an advertisement,
Do you think they do that on purpose,
Well,
or maybe Tim Hortons would just to get the care advertising?
No, I want good coffee.
Oh!
So, hey, Starbucks, you watching?
Yeah. Product placement. Good job. Well done.
Yeah,
very
let's
nice.
Work on that. Let's
nice
work
job.
On that.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
Better than product placement?
Yes.
I've heard is paid product placement. That's what I've been told by my colleagues.
Yeah. Meaning the product, what? That the company pays to put their product on your show to get the visibility.
Today, I paid to put this coffee in my belly. And it just happens that they've strategically designed their cups.
I'm waiting for the companies to use the DCMA to start charging you for any logo that appears in your video, whether it's intentional or not.
No, I should have it the other way around. Come on now.
This is free advertising for them.
Yes, exactly. Hmm. Because there are billions of people watching our little daily chat. Absolutely.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Remember this will go down in history. Anyway.
I remember the first time I heard the idea of product placements in TV shows and movies. It was in the late 90s when I watched a documentary on the history of advertisements from the paper press and TV and later and radio. And after they did told how that was done, for a long time I couldn't help but. Suddenly I saw all the product placements that I didn't notice before.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I saw the same. You look at old 70s and 80s movies where it's really blatant that, like, you know, the Starbucks.
And all the cartoons, all the cartoons that we grew up with were just basically like Zeller's commercials and Kmart.
Jimmy, what is that cigarette you're smoking there over the lounge?
I'm thinking more like every He-Man action figure and every, you know, She-Ra and all this stuff.
Cartoon.
Yeah, any of the toys that we grow up with. Transformers was another one. It's like the whole idea behind the show was strictly to sell product. Yeah. And that's all it was.
See,
and it worked.
I got so into that in Japan with Power Rangers. So by the time we moved back to the States in the 80s, I refused to watch any of that.
Speaking of product placement.
Oh, boy.
I picked this up. Yeah. Ameridroid. This comes
to
me.
Get the cat.
What's that about the cat? My cat sitting over
We have an unboxing. We have to go get a cat.
Yeah.
Oh.
Here, I'll save it for you. I should say, I know that you who are watching on demand are probably already becoming fairly familiar with our community members, but Solbu's at the top left, BP9 at the top right, Peter on the bottom left, and Agamotto on the bottom right, and of course, I'm Robbie. Yeah, let's see what Bo sent me. He said, so I ordered a Pine 64 module and a couple other goodies. But the real question is, oh, yes, this is all I care about, boys.
The Jell-O.
I'm somewhat tempted to order the phone.
Yeah. Okay. The gummy bears.
Yes.
The good ones.
There you go.
Nice. Yes. I was thinking about these the other day because they do. Let's see. What do they make? Yeah, they have gelatin in them. Because like these days, you gotta. It's like there's so many vegans.
It's just full of sugar, right?
But it's also got gelatin, which is pig, right? So
I'm guessing. I'm guessing the first ingredient is sugar. Am I right about that?
Sugar.
Yeah.
You guys actually, is that what we're doing?
Yeah, it's made
from glucose.
It's made from bones, gelatin, it's the bones.
Yeah, we don't need to get into the gory details. I'm just saying that, like, because my wife is vegan, right? So I love that anytime we get this kind of stuff, I get to have it.
Yeah, she can't have any.
Glucose is the number one ingredient. Sugar is the second.
Okay. Well, glucose is just sugar anyway, so.
No gosh,
main line.
All right. What do we got? Okay, this is cool. Can you guys see?
It's a NEMS logo. Look at that.
NEMS.
So that's a case for you?
Case. Yeah.
Nice.
I'm guessing.
And no sugar.
Yeah, no. It could have been a sugar-based print. Wow.
Nice.
I wish Bo was here. Yeah. I need to ask him where the case came from.
He showed us one of those because he was, when you were talking about NEMS on an earlier coffee break, he was showing us one of those. He had one on the shelf.
Yeah, no, I remember. I remember seeing it. But so this must be, because I guess I had thought that maybe he 3D printed it, but this is not. This is like a really good quality. Like that's not a 3D print.
Agreed. That's nice and smooth. Is that a sticker on the? Is that an M sticker on there? Has that been printed on embossed?
It's like a vinyl sticker.
So it may well be that it's already a previously available product, that case, and he just put the sticker on it for you.
Yes. Oh, and there's a clear one too.
Ooh, nice. I like clear ones.
We geeks like to see the innards of our
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, nice. These are from Bo. So I wish he was here so I could say thank you.
Cool.
Nice.
Cool.
I'm gonna have to send each of you a NEMS sticker. All right, now I'm getting into my order. Okay. Oh, sweet. Okay, so I got a biscuit, which is like a 9-axis gyro, I guess you call it. It's like a sensor, so I can create circuits to and these are really nice because they've got the Arduino built right into it. You don't have to have like a whole bunch of parts. It's all just one circuit board, one little tiny 1x1 circuit board, and they're super cheap compared to doing the Arduino components yourself.
Before you pull that out of the box, I was imagining another cookie that you could eat.
Yeah, in Australia and England, we call biscuits what you call cookies here. Here, when you see biscuit,
sorry to disappoint, guys.
A biscuit is scone here in the
or
similar.
A sensor.
Yes. Yes.
A64 module for my Pine 64 cluster board.
Yeah. Not a memory module. Don't stick it in your PC for memory. That won't work. A battery?
A LiPo, so that takes me to, let's see here. Must be in here. A box within a box. Oh, no, it's taped. I don't have box cutters in the lunchroom. There we go. There it is. Okay.
See, this is why you always keep a Leatherman around.
Oh, sweet, though. Oh, you know what I do have is this power module with Wi-Fi and the LCD screen.
Why does a power module need Wi-Fi?
Are you ready for this, BP9?
I'm almost afraid to ask.
Because this particular power module is app compatible. So you can monitor and control the voltage from within your phone's app.
So I can overvolt my power supply just for grins if I want to self-destruct the unit that this is plugged up to?
Is that the idea? Or change the voltage for whatever you're plugging into
it. Why would you want to do that at runtime?
Not at runtime. You don't need to necessarily do it at runtime, but isn't it nice that you can see, and I haven't even plugged it in yet, man. I don't know all the features yet, but I can't wait to play.
It's got an app,
so you can see. Yeah, you can monitor everything on it. So you can monitor like the power, the voltage, everything, like the draw, I suppose. So you can do a lot of stuff that you'd normally have to use your voltmeter for, or like some kind of inline device to be able to monitor. But you do it from your phone, which is cool.
Until lightning strikes, and then you've got to replace it.
Oh, suddenly your app jumps up to 4 million and then dies. Then it has an LCD screen that plugs into it too. So this goes on top, and that gives you a readout as well. So that'll be fun. That'll be something that I'll show on the show. Yeah. I got a piece of plexi, which must have something to do with that. It's about the same size. So it must have something to do with that board.
Huh. Okay. There's a double-sided tape on the back of that board. Maybe it goes to there somehow. Maybe it's just a supporting thing. I don't know.
Oh, like a stand to like to set it on.
I guess, yeah. Maybe. But it's too nice to use as a metallic desk. Too nice to use as a stand, though.
Yeah. Anyway, I got some stuff to play with. I got some stuff to play with and stuff to nibble on.
Is that it? Is that all of it?
That's it. That's it.
Oh boy.
And some peanuts.
Oh boy. And peanuts.
You
might see
on a YouTube video also.
Are they vegan?
But this
they're full of starch, so yeah.
This unboxing reminds me of a video I saw 5 years ago.
Guys, just so you know, I told Solbu in Discord, I'm going to get him a shirt that says, "That reminds me of a video I saw."
There you go. Yeah. There you go. Perfect.
Yeah. Our brother has gave his sister a big birthday present at her school. They was having some kind of party. The box was 1 meter by 1 meter, the entire box. She used half an hour to unpack it. And inside all of that packaging was something just a card. And it had it was an invitation to something that she really wanted.
Oh, cool.
The best gift she has ever gotten.
Well, I got a Christmas present for my brother one day. It was in a box that was... not quite as big as a meter by a meter, but he opened the box, then he unwrapped the first layer of newspaper, unwrapped the next layer of newspaper. It went through about, I think there was something like 20 layers of newspaper that he would just keep unwrapping and unwrapping, and there was a lump of coal.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. Oh boy, that's cool.
And this box had he had a counter in the upper corner, counting how many layers it was, closing 130 when she got to the final one.
Wow! Oh my gosh.
Wow!
Somebody has way too much time on their hands wrapping that up. Oh, the best my parents ever did was like putting a box of macaroni in with it or something so that you'd shake it and you'd be like, what is this?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Because it's like
this
big and you're like, what in the world? But then it always leads to disappointment, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Certainly when you get through that and get a block of coal, that's a little disappointing.
That or a brick, you know, they're my favorite. They're my favorite presents to put in for when they're bad.
Yes.
Now, did I tell you guys at all about I know I demonstrated the clock face on the on the Pine Time, but I'm trying to remember whether I went through the maths with you, you know, the mathematics. For figuring out where that hour hand should be, because remember I said the hour hand needs to move incrementally.
I'm not sure how it wasn't it every 5 minutes you said that it
moved? That was the plan, but what I ended up doing was so if you follow the minute hand around every time it clicks by the minute. Yeah. That would be 60 times for every hour, right? So 60 minutes in every hour.
Yeah. And then, math there, BP9, yeah.
I'm sticking my tongue out if I can. And then there's 12 hours in one rotation of the hour hand, right? Mm-hmm. Multiply the two, you get 720. Divide that in half, you get 360. There's 360 degrees in the whole thing. Somehow, and I haven't completely rehearsed it in my head, so I can't explain it completely, but it worked out somehow that the hour hand updates every 2 minutes. So the position of the hour hand changes every 2 minutes. More often than that, I think I've got all... Wow, someone's making an... Oh, hello, Bo.
Yeah, Bo's here. You always... Yay! Bo does the grand entrance. Bo, yes. I just... I
thought it was somebody with a garbage disposal.
I don't want to get sidetracked, but Bo, letting you know that I got the box of goodies, so we'll talk about... you'll watch back or something. Sorry, carry on.
Just a very, very quick comment that was... with 720 possible opportunities to update the hour hand, the resolution at 200 by 200 just isn't enough to update more than every 2 minutes or so. And I think that was the reason why every 2 minutes it updates.
That works.
I don't think you'll perceive
that.
And the way I did it in order to save memory in the actual Pine Time itself was to actually have three arrays, one for the hour hand for all 720 possible positions, one for the minute hand for 60 positions, 60 positions, one for the second hand for the same 60 positions. Because I have to have separate arrays for each one because each of the clock face hands are all different length. So they all fall on different XY coordinates as they go around the... as they go around the clock face, but yeah,
my main screensaver on the screensaver on my main machine is a digital is a analog clock, and I'm watching it as you are describing, and and it's updating the minute hand is updating 60 times a minute, so
the minute hand is updating 60 times a minute?
Yes.
Is that what you said?
Yes.
So that means the minute hand is incrementally moving between the tick marks then?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't go to that level of detail.
As if you'd even notice that. Yeah, that's a waste of resources.
Point. Now, with Solbu's screen at what, probably a 1K screen or something, right? 1020 by 1080 by 1924 or something. You're going to notice every single little, you know, incremental move. But at 200 by 200, which is what I believe the resolution is, you're just not going to notice that little movement. Yeah. It's just not going to – you're just not going to see it. So there's no point trying to track that level of movement. So
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You go ahead and ask your question to Bo now.
Yeah. Well, now that Bo is here, we can ask him questions. So, Bo, BP9 had probably the first question, which was what – so – and I did my best to answer, but, Bo, you'd answer better. So the power module – what is the biggest purpose of having app access to that power module?
Well, there's two main reasons. One is to be able to remotely turn off and turn on your devices that are plugged into it.
Nice. Perfect.
So let's say that something gets into a locked state or something like that, and you're not there to troubleshoot it, just reboot it.
Yeah, that's great. Normally, that would be something that you'd have to buy, like a server rack unit or something, or like a iDRAC on my server, for example.
Right. And another reason you'd want app access to it is to monitor power usage. So if you're trying to do something that's low power or maybe you're trying to manage heat, you can see what's pulling power at what times using the history of the power utilization.
Oh, that's cool.
Nice.
Ruby.
Nice. Now, Robbie thought that you could change the output voltage of it programmatically. Is that true or no?
Let me check that. Wrong screen.
I was explaining to Robbie that would be a great way to cook your device. You know, just keep incrementally increasing the voltage until it
Can you go?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And presumably that unit is powered separately from your Rock Pro or whatever it is that you connected it to.
It would be the power supply for it. Yeah, right. you would connect it.
You wouldn't use this for a Rock Pro because a Rock Pro is 12 volts and this is a 5 volt power supply.
Oh, okay. This is 5 volts. Okay.
Okay.
So anything that's 5 volt, this can run that up to, I forget how many amps, 5 amps, I think.
Cool.
Okay. So yeah, you can adjust
the output. 5 amps at 5 volts.
Yeah, you can adjust the output from 4 volts to 5.3 volts DC.
Okay. And the SBC can handle that without any problem, right? So, yeah.
Well, 4 volts is going to be kind of iffy for a lot of SBCs, but 5.3 is fine.
Yep.
So somewhere between 4 and 5 is where most SBCs are going to start working well.
So a hacker can't get in and fry your SBC by cranking up the voltage then, right?
Not if it's a 5-volt SBC.
Okay, nice. Now, you say, Robbie, you said it's the power supply for the SBC. Yeah. Is it plugged up like a shield or no? Or a hack or whatever it's called? How does it connect?
It does have some standoff holes. But it doesn't, Bo, does this match up with any SBC? It doesn't look, it's not a P-hat, that's for sure. But this is Odroid board. But you can create a standoff or build it into a case, and it's got some sticker on the back, so I could build it into something if I wanted to.
Yeah, it's a standalone unit, and you need to cut off the end of a power supply or something to wire it into that.
Oh, okay, this is the input then?
Yeah.
Cool. That is the...
Read the instructions, Robbie.
I will. Read the instructions, Robbie. I just got it. I just opened it. I haven't read the instructions yet.
So the barrel connector is where you plug into the wall. And then that green connector is where you connect your SBC's power supply or power cable into.
Oh, okay. And, this power is providing power to the Wi-Fi module in the system itself.
No, that's the input. Power. What you just pointed to is the input. That barrel connector, if I understand Bo correctly, that barrel connector is where you plug the wall into the device.
Right.
That powers the device. Then the green block is the output of this device that you feed power to your SBC to it from that block. Is that right? Is that right, Bo?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
So then I ask, okay, so we've got USB A and USB micro.
Yeah, the USB A is power output up to 5 amp.
You can do either or?
Yeah.
Oh, it's 1 amp. Okay. So 5 amp, 1 amp.
Yeah, you can do both at the same time.
Okay, cool.
And the micro USB connection, I believe, is for connecting directly to a computer that you want to have control this.
Oh, cool.
Or you can do it via Wi-Fi.
Yeah, nice. Cool. I'm looking forward to playing with that.
Very cool. Very nice.
Cool stuff, guys.
So what you got to do now is figure out how to remotely reboot your machine, your SBC.
Yeah.
You've got to connect to it somehow. Is there firmware
handy, yeah.
Is there firmware in there? Is there a
Yeah, there's firmware in there.
That you can SSH into or whatever you need to do?
Right. I believe there's an app for Android that you can use to communicate with it.
Via the cloud, via someone else's computer.
Right.
For some reason, I'm picturing in my head someone SSHing into the power supply and running shutdown.
Exactly where I'm going with this. That's exactly where I'm going with this.
The smart
you
power
say no until it happens, Robbie.
Yeah.
It actually has a built-in web interface, a built-in web server.
Well, we got to make it easy for the hackers to shut the floor down, right?
Hey, come on. I got a Microtech.
Just make sure you firewall that puppy off, Robbie. Make sure you firewall it off real good.
Oh, I sure will. I sure will. Just like all my other devices.
Yeah, there are some things that is not supposed to be on the internet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, guys, it's been fun once again. I got a jet. It's been fun having a coffee break with you again today. Good to see each and every one of you, and I will see you again tomorrow. Bye.
Thanks, Robbie.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.